بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In this lesson, we come to the next surah, which is Surah Al-Ma'un. And Surah Al-Ma'un, which is the 107th surah or chapter in the Quran, is a surah which was revealed in Mecca. So it is Makkiyah. And it has 7 ayat. The meaning of the word Al-Ma'un comes from the Arabic verb A'ana Yu'inu, which means to help. The meaning of A'ana Yu'inu I'anatan is to help somebody else. So for example, in Arabic you would say A'ana Jarahu, he helped his neighbor. A'ana Yatiman, he helped an orphan. And also the word Isti'ana comes from this same verb A'ana. And the meaning of isti'ana is to seek help. And in Surah Al-Fatiha we say, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. O Allah, only you do we worship and only you do we nasta'een. I seek help from. And also in the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he taught the companions the dhikr that you should say after the prayers, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. This dhikr, or this remembrance, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach the companions that they should say it after the prayer. Allahumma a'inni, from that same word, a'ana yu'inu. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, help me upon your dhikr, upon your remembrance. O Allah, help me upon your dhikr, i.e. your remembrance, and help me upon showing shukr to you, and help me upon worshipping you well, and worshipping you properly. And the reason why we ask the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of these things is because without the help of Allah and without His guidance, it's not possible for us to worship Him properly and to thank Him properly and to make dhikr of Him. So when somebody practices Islam, if they lived in a time when they were not practicing Islam and then they started practicing Islam, if somebody asks that person, how did you come to Islam and how did you start practicing Islam, a person shouldn't say it was because of my intelligence or because of me researching and reading up and learning and speaking to different people. Rather, a person should say that this is from the tawfiq of Allah. This is from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from the virtue of Allah. This is from the fadl, the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So always, worship of Allah and practicing Islam and being steadfast upon the religion isn't due to a person's intelligence or a person's own knowledge. And the evidence of this is, how many people do we see, and they are the most intelligent and academic people, and yet they die upon misguidance and they die upon disbelief. And at the same time, how many people do we see who perhaps don't have that level of academic intelligence, and yet they are rightly guided upon Al-Islam. And if you remember back to our lessons in the 6 fundamental principles by Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, if you remember in the introduction, he said, "Min a'jab al-ujab," from the most strange of affairs, "Wa akbar al-ayat al-dalati ala qudrat al-malik al-ghallab," and from the clear signs which show the ability of Al-Malik Al-Ghallab, sittatu usul, are 6 fundamental principles. Bayyanahu Allah Ta'ala bayanan wafiyan. And Allah has explain and clarify these six principles very, very clearly. للعوام, for the common people. فوق ما يظن الظانون, more than what people can think. And then after this he said, ثم بعد ذلك غلط كثير من أذكياء العالم. And then after this, despite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning and clarifying and explaining these six fundamental principles even at the level of the common people, despite this, many of the intelligent people of the world, وَعُقَلَى بَنِي آدَمَ, and many of the intellectuals and academics amongst the people of Adam, غَلِطُوا فِي ذَلِكَ, they have erred regarding them. The point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made some things or has made His religion clear for everybody. And sometimes the ami, the common person, the ignorant person, the illiterate person, the uneducated person will learn them and know them and practice them. And yet, the adhikiya al-alam, the intelligent people of the world, wa uqala bani Adam, academics amongst the people of Adam, they don't understand it. Why? Because all of this is based upon at-tawfiq, based upon guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we always ask the help of Allah, that He makes us firm upon His religion, firm upon the truth, and He helps us in worshipping Him, and helps us in showing shukr to Him, and helps us in remembering Him. The point is that the meaning of al-ma'un comes from a'ana yu'inu, which means to help, or to aid, to support, or to save. And the meaning of ma'un, the word itself, it's a comprehensive term which covers the basic amenities in a person's house. So al-ma'un, for example, refers to a utensil in a person's house. Or plates, cups, a cooking pot, forks and knives. These basic things and basic amenities that every single person is in need of at home. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He encourages us from the meanings of this surah to help the people with even these most basic of amenities. Even if somebody comes to you and he wants a plate or a cooking pot, that we help them in this. So the specific meaning of al-ma'un are the basic amenities in a person's house. And the general meaning is charity, and especially small forms of charity. And this surah, it was revealed in order to dispraise and condemn the Quraysh and the Mushrikeen at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And At-Tabari rahimullah, and he was a famous mufassir of the Qur'an, a scholar of the Qur'an, he mentioned that the scholars have differed regarding the reason behind the revelation of this surah. So some of them said that this surah was revealed regarding a person called Al-As ibn Wa'il. And others said that this surah was revealed regarding one of the munafiqeen. And some of them said that this surah was revealed regarding Abu Jahl and other people. And it is said that the Quraysh and the munafiqoon and the mushrikoon كانوا ينحرون في كل أسبوع جزورا, that every single week they would sacrifice, make nahar of camels. فطلب منه يتيم شيئا, and one day an orphan came to the Quraysh, the person who was sacrificing these camels every week, and asked him for something from them, a little bit of food from this sacrificed camel. فقرعه بالعصا, and then this person, he shoved him back with his stick. Or he repelled him with his stick. He dismissed him with his stick. And then upon this and due to this, this surah was revealed, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemns those people amongst the munafiqeen and the Quraysh, whose hearts have hardened such that even if they're sacrificing camels and sacrificing animals for food and they're wasting it, yet when a poor orphan person comes to them and asks them something little from that food, they repel that person away due to the hardness of their hearts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He began this ayah by asking a question. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ, do you O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also all of the believers who follow you, have you seen those people who reject ad-deen? And I mentioned previously that the meaning of ad-deen, the word ad-deen in the Arabic language, it has two meanings. One of the meanings of ad-deen is the reward for something. Whether that reward is good or whether that reward is severe, the reward or the recompense of something. And the other meaning of ad-deen is the action, al-amal. So ad-deen, it can either mean the act and the action itself, or it can mean the reward or the punishment of that action. Like Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مُخْلِسًا لَهُ الدِّينِ. They were not ordered except that they should worship Allah مُخْلِسًا لَهُ الدِّينِ, making their actions, i.e. acts of worship, sincere for the sake of Allah. So this is one of the meanings of ad-deen. And the other meaning is reward, punishment, or recompense. Maliki Yawm al-Din. He's the king of Yawm al-Din, i.e. the day of reward or punishment and recompense. Because on that day, Yawm al-Qiyamah, there will not be any more actions. There won't be any more good deeds or bad deeds. There'll only be reward or punishment. And the meaning here, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you, O Muhammad, and the believers, have you seen those people who disbelieve in ad-deen, i.e. Yawm al-Qiyamah, and the resurrection, and al-akhirah? And this is something which Ibn Kathir and al-Tabari and other scholars have mentioned. So the Quraysh at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although they used to believe in some aspects of at-tawheed, we said that the Quraysh used to believe in tawheed al-rububiyyah, and that Allah is the sole Lord and the sole creator and the sole provider. They used to believe this. But in other aspects, they used to disbelieve. And one of the aspects they used to disbelieve in is Yawm al-Qiyamah and al-Ba'ath ba'd al-Maut. They used to disbelieve in the resurrection after life and the day of resurrection. And Allah said in the Quran, زعم الذين كفروا أن لن يبعثوا. The disbelievers, the Quraysh, they claim that they will not be resurrected. قل بلا وربي لتبعثن. Say, no, rather by my Lord, indeed you will be resurrected. So they used to believe in, or they used to disbelieve in the resurrection. And for this reason Allah said, أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين. Look, have you seen those people who disbelieve and reject in the resurrection after death? After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned regarding the Quraysh two characteristics. فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. These two characteristics regarding them. That they are the ones who repel the orphan. And then the second thing, and they do not encourage the people to feed the masakin, to feed the poor people. So those Quraysh, those mushrikun, those munafiqun who disbelieved in the hereafter and disbelieved in the resurrection, they had two particular characteristics. The first one was that they did not have any care or concern or consideration for the yatim. And the meaning of yatim, the orphan, sometimes people don't understand what is an orphan according to the Sharia. According to the Sharia, the meaning of orphan, yatim, is a child whose father has passed away and he is under the age of puberty. So al-yatim, somebody being a yatim, is specific to a person's father being passed away, not both parents or the mother. Rather, the father has died and he's under the age of puberty. And therefore, when such a person goes above or beyond the age of puberty, he's no longer called a yatim. You can say he grew up a yatim and he lived a yatim, i.e. before puberty. And after puberty, this person is not called a yatim. And as I said, it is specific for a person's father passing away. And in the Sharia, in the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we find many evidences, many ayat, many ahadith in which Islam encourages us to look after the yatim, the orphan, and to pay special consideration and care to this child. And also in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself, come over here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself used to care a lot about the aitam, about the orphans. And he used to keep them close to him. And he used to show them a lot of love. And how can he not do so when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself was a yatim? Because the father of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was just before his birth, or when he was only a few weeks old. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he grew up as a yatim, and he was born as a yatim, and therefore he knew and he felt and he empathized with the aitam, with the orphans. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, ana وَكَافِلُ الْيَتِيمِ كَهَذَا. He said, me and the one who looks after or sponsors or cares for an orphan is like this. And then he pointed towards his two fingers, his index finger and his middle finger. Meaning, look how close these two fingers are to each other. There's not even any gap or any separation between these two fingers. And this is the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and a person who sponsors and takes care and has consideration for a yatim. There'll be no separation between them in Jannah. They'll be together in Jannah. Because this was an action which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do. And therefore anybody else who does this action of looking after a yatim will be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam like these two fingers. Like the index finger and the middle finger. And also, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu narrates, أَنَّ رَجُلًا جَاءَ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. A man, he came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. يَشْتَكِي إِلَيْهِ قَصْوَةَ قَلْبِهِ. And he was complaining to him regarding the hardness of his heart. That his heart has become very hard. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم replied to him, أَتُحِبْ أَنْ يُلِينَ قَلْبُكَ. Do you want and do you love for your heart to be softened? وَأَن تُدْرَكْ حَاجَتُكَ, and that the thing that you're after, it will be fulfilled. He said, إِرْحَمْ الْيَتِيمِ, be merciful towards an orphan. وَمْسَحْ رَأْسَهُ, and wipe over his head. With your hand, wipe over his head. وَأَطْعِمْهُ مِنْ طَعَامِكَ, and feed him from the same food that you are eating from. And this hadith of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, I remember reading this hadith when I was in Medina, when I was in the Islamic University of Medina. And the first time I read this hadith, I was amazed at the meanings in this hadith. Absolutely amazed at the meanings in this hadith. That from the care and concerns for a yatim is something as simple as wiping your hand over his head. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mention wiping your hand over his head? Why not give him money, for example? Why not take him out? Why wipe your hand over his head? And perhaps the answer is, and this is why I've contemplated and Allah knows best, that the yatim, the orphan, whose father has passed away whilst he was young, the thing which is missing from his life is not wealth necessarily. For example, it could be a yatim and he's rich, and he has a lot of property and a lot of wealth. And perhaps his father who passed away left him a lot of wealth in his will. But the thing which a yatim misses is mercy and love, especially from a father-like figure. And therefore, something as simple as wiping your hand over the head of a child or the head of a yatim will show him that affection and that love which he has been missing. And often in our cultures amongst the Muslims, wiping your hand over a child is from love and care and mercy and affection. And fathers and uncles, grandparents, they do this towards their young children, especially the ones before the age of puberty. Yet this yatim, this orphan, He's never had somebody to do even this most simple action. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam encouraged us to do this action, and Allah knows best. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Irham al-yateen." If you want your heart to become soft and kind and tender, then have mercy upon a yateen. "Wamsah ala ra'sihi," and wipe over his head. "Wat'imhu min ta'amik," and feed him from the same food that you are eating from. If you ponder this hadith, you'll find that each one of these three meanings has nothing to do with money. Like, we are encouraged to spend and give money to the masakin and to the fuqara. But the yateen, having mercy upon him, isn't necessarily giving him money. If he's poor, of course we give him money. And wiping over his head has nothing to do with wealth. And even when it comes to feeding him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not say, وَأَطْحِنُهُ الطَّعَامُ, give him some food. He said, give him the food that you are eating from. And again, each one of these three matters is not necessarily the food that you're giving him, but the fact that you're giving him your food. I.e. he feels the love and the affection and the care of sharing somebody else's food, or the mercy of somebody who's older than him, or even the love that is shown by wiping your hand over his head. So the person who does not show any care and consideration towards an orphan, the one from whom love and affection is missing from his life and his early childhood, then this person is somebody whose heart is hardened. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that this is a reason for the hearts to be softened. And therefore, not giving any care and concern towards the orphans, whether they are in our families, in our locality, or even in other Muslim countries, shows the state of a person's heart. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. And the second characteristic is that he does not encourage people to feed other poor people. Again, due to the hardness of this person's heart, he has no care or concern for the poor people and encouraging others to feed them. And Allah said in the Quran, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدَّ قَسْوَةً. In Surah Al-Baqarah. That after this, your hearts became hardened, so they are like a stone, or even more severe than a stone. This is the type of person who has no care or concern for the orphan or for the poor person. That his heart has become hardened like a stone, or even more severe than the stone. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Woe be to those people who pray. And the meaning of wail is a severe punishment. All types of severe punishment. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. And if you were to consider the meaning of this ayah on its own, it doesn't make sense. Woe be to those people who perform a salah. And this is because the meaning is incomplete. The second ayah has to also be recited, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Those people who are sahun, negligent regarding their prayers. And this type of ayah, it isn't correct for a person to recite this ayah and then stop. So for example, a person says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, and he goes into ruku'. Woe be to those people who pray, and you go into ruku'. Because woe and punishment isn't for those people who pray. And this ayah is connected to the ayah which is after it. So if you recite فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, you don't go into ruku, then you have to recite the next ayah, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. And then if you want, you could go into ruku, or of course you could complete the recitation of the surah. So when Allah said فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, that wail, woe and severe punishments are for those people who pray, he then explained this statement. He said, who are they? أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. They are people who pray, and despite their prayer, they are negligent regarding their prayers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, he didn't condemn the people who don't pray. That has been mentioned in other ayat and other ahadith regarding the people who don't pray. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about those people who do pray. They establish their 5 daily prayers, but they are sahun. They are negligent regarding these prayers and praying them properly. And the word here used is sahun. And you have to pay attention to the difference between as-sahu and then those people who are sahun. The meaning of as-sahu is somebody who forgets in his prayer. Perhaps he forgets to read something, or he adds something to it, or on a one-off occasion, he falls short something regarding the prayer. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was the most focused and enthusiastic regarding his prayer, and most perfect about his salawat, but in certain instances, he forgot something from his prayer. As is in the many ahadith. In one occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he only prayed 2 raka'at, I think it was Dhuhr or Asr, and he forgot to pray the other 2 raka'at. Because humans, they forget. As a human, you forget sometimes. And because of this reason, we have something called sujood as-sahu. The sujood, the prostration which you do after the prayer, if you have forgotten something from the prayer. You have sincerely forgotten something from the prayer. This is different. As-sahu is different from the sahun. The sahun are those people who intentionally are negligent regarding their prayers, even if they are fulfilling their prayers. Like, for example, somebody who prays his 5 prayers, but prays them very quick. And he doesn't know what he's saying in his prayer, or he doesn't have tranquility in his prayer, just prays them all very quick. This type of person, Allah condemned and dispraised in this ayah. أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Those people, despite them praying their 5 prayers, they are negligent regarding their 5 prayers. Ibn Kathir, rahimullah, in his tafsir, he mentions the various types of people who are sahun, who are negligent regarding their prayers. He said that the sahun is regarding imma an waqtiha al-awwal fayu'akhirunaha ila akhirih da'iman aw ghaliban. That the sahun are those people who don't pray their prayer at the beginning time of the prayer. Rather, they always make their prayer late. They'll always delay their prayer right up until the last time. And then when the last time comes, or there's only a few minutes left for the prayer, then they'll pray it very, very quickly. So for example, the time of Dhuhr, it's expansive. And you can pray at the beginning of the time of Dhuhr when it first comes in, or in the middle, or you can pray towards the end. From the meanings of sahun, being negligent regarding the prayer, are those people, they don't pray the prayer at the beginning of the time or the middle of the time. They are so negligent that they leave the prayer right up until the last minute. And then when the last minute comes, they rush, they perform wudu, and they pray the prayer as quick as they can do so. And this is one of the meanings of sahun. Now, it can happen that perhaps once or twice or every now and again this happens. Somebody, for example, is working or he was busy with something, preoccupied. He forgot the Dhuhr prayer at the beginning of the time. And then when the time was at the end, he remembered, I still have to pray the Dhuhr prayer, and he prays the Dhuhr prayer. But the sahun are those people who do this da'iman or ghaliban. Always they are doing this. Or most of the times they are like this. That their custom is, when the prayer comes, they have no consideration for the prayer, except that the last minute is left, and then they'll quickly pray it at the end. And Ibn Kathir, he said, وَإِمَّا عَنْ أَدَائِهَا. Or it might be a group of people or a person who prays the prayer, but they don't pray the prayer properly. بِأَرْكَانِهَا وَشُرُوطِهَا عَلَى وَجْهِ الْمَأْمُورِ. That when they are praying, they don't pray the prayer fulfilling its conditions and fulfilling its pillars and fulfilling its obligations according to the way which we have been ordered to pray. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." Pray as you have seen me pray. Meaning, fulfill the conditions of the prayer and the actions of the prayer and the pillars of the prayer, the arkan, the obligations of the prayer, the wajibat, fulfill all of these. So one of the meanings of sahun are those people who pray and yet they don't have any regard to how they are praying. وَإِمَّا عَنِ الْخُشُوعِ فِيهَا وَالتَّدَبُّرِ لِمَعَانِيهَا. Or, sahun can refer to those people who when they are praying, they have no humility in the prayer. They have no khushu in the prayer. They don't pray the prayer and they are calm and tranquil and they are praying it slowly. Or it could be regarding those people who pray and they are not pondering over the meanings of the prayer. They are reciting the Quran during their prayer and they just recite it very quickly and they don't ponder over its meaning or they don't recite it properly. فَاللَّفْظ يَشْمِلْ هَذَا كُلَّهُ. So this word, sahoon, i.e. negligent, it covers all of these meanings. Either delaying the prayer right up until its last minutes, or praying it very quickly, not praying it properly, not pondering over its meanings. Sahoon, it covers all of this. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, said, وَلِكُلِّ مَنِ اتَّصَفَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكِ لَهُ قِسْطٌ مِّنْ هَذِي الْآيَةِ. That anybody whose prayer has one of these meanings, i.e. he's always praying it at the end, or he's not praying it properly, then for him is a portion of this ayah. So if you don't pray your prayer properly, in its correct time, early, with khushu, with humility and being calm, then you have a portion of the meaning of this ayah, or this word, sahun. وَمَنِ اتَّصَفَ بِجَمِيعِ ذَلِكِ. And whoever's prayer covers all of these meanings, so for example, a person, he prays at the end of the time, and he has no khushu, and he doesn't pray it properly, and he prays it quickly, and he doesn't consider what he is saying, and the meanings of what he is saying, then this word sahun, it applies upon him 100% in totality. He said, فَقَدْ تَمَّ نَصِيبُهُ مِنْهَا. That the person's prayer covers all of these meanings, then the word sahun is upon him completely. وَكَمُلَ لَهُ النِّفَاقَ الْعَمَلِ. And this type of person, for him, he has reached hypocrisy in his actions. He is a munafiq, but in his actions. Because the munafiqun, the hypocrites, are of two types. And النِّفَاق, hypocrisy, is of two types. There's nifaq ilmi. There's a person's hypocrisy in his knowledge and his beliefs. And this person is a kafir. He's the munafiq, like the munafiq at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Meaning, he says he is a Muslim, but in his knowledge and his aqidah, he is a kafir. He doesn't care about al-Islam. This is al-nifaq al-ilmi. Then there is al-nifaq al-amali. A person who has hypocrisy in his actions. The Prophet ﷺ said, ayatul munafiq thalatha. The signs of a hypocrite, meaning the hypocrite in his actions, are three. And then he mentioned them. When he speaks, he doesn't tell the truth. When he promises, he doesn't fulfill his promises. And when he argues, then he exceeds the limits of debating and arguing. But this munafiq, who has nifaq al-amali, who has hypocrisy in his actions, he's still a Muslim. He's a Muslim, but he's sinning through these actions. And the munafiq al-ilmi, then he's munafiq in totality. He's not a Muslim. So Ibn Kathir rahimullah, he said, وَمِنِ اتَّصَفَ بِجَمِيعِ ذَلِكِ. Whoever's prayer covers all of these meanings that we have mentioned, فَقَدْ تَمَّ نَصِيبُهُ مِنْهَا. Then he is the sahun. وَكَمُلَ لَهُ النِّفَاقَ الْعَمَلِ. And he is the one who has النِّفَاقَ الْعَمَلِ. He's hypocritical in his actions. كَمَا ثَبَتَ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ. As it is mentioned in the two Sahih, Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تِلْكَ صَلَاتُ الْمُنَافِقِ. تِلْكَ صَلَاتُ الْمُنَافِقِ. تِلْكَ صَلَاتُ الْمُنَافِقِ. Three times the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that is the prayer of a hypocrite. That is the prayer of a hypocrite. That is the prayer of a hypocrite. Then he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَجْلِسُ يَرْقَبُ الشَّمْسِ. That the person, he knows that the time of the prayer has come, but he sits waiting for the sun to go down. حَتَّى إِذَا كَانَتْ بَيْنَ قَرْنِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Up until the sun goes down between the horns of the shaitan, meaning sunset, and when sunset is just about to come, قَامَ فَنَقَرَ أَرْبَعًا. Then he quickly gets up and he prays four raka'ats. And he prays these four rak'at like a crow. Just like a crow takes his head down and up, down and up. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he described the prayer of this munafiq, nifaq al-amali. That despite all of that time for a person to pray, he waits and waits and waits up until the last few minutes when the sunset is about to go down and there's only a very few minutes left of the prayer. Then he prays very quickly and his head is up, down, just to complete the prayer. Not praying it properly. وَلَا يَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And he does not make dhikr of Allah except a very little bit. And this is regarding the Asr prayer. This is regarding the Asr prayer. We know that one of the disliked times for a person to pray is just before Maghrib by a short while when the sun is going down. And this type of person who prays the prayer of the munafiq, despite all of that time for the Asr prayer to be prayed, he waits right at the last minute when it is the disliked time, and then he prays four rak'at very quickly. And then after this, Allah said, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. Those people who show off in their good deeds, whether it's regarding their prayer or their other good deeds, the intention behind the prayer and doing the good deeds is they want to show off to the people. Some of the Salaf and our ulama, they have mentioned, how can a person remain sincere in his prayer? What is the practical way for a person to remain sincere in his prayer so there is no showing off which enters into his heart? And the answer is simple to give the answer, but more difficult to implement the answer. We ask Allah for a tawfiq and His help. And that is that the prayer which a person prays in his house when nobody sees him is longer and better than the prayer that a person prays in the masjid in front of the people. So as long as a person tries to pray his prayers that he prays at home, which isn't in front of the people, and it's longer and better, his standing is longer and his sujood is longer than when he prays in front of the people, then this bi-idhnillah is a way in which a person can ensure that his prayer is sincere. And Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ خَادِعُونَ. That the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they try to deceive Allah. They try to deceive Allah. And Allah is the one who deceives them. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالًا. When they stand up for the prayer, they stand in laziness. يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ. They show off to the people. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And they do not make dhikr of Allah except a little bit. So these munafiqun, at home they don't pray, they don't pray anything. And yet when it comes to praying in front of the people, they'll pray in a very lazy manner. And the only objective that they have is they want to show off to the people that look at the prayer of this person and how he is standing. And the reality is, وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They did not make dhikr of Allah except a very little bit. Now, we have to understand the difference between a person who does a righteous action or who performs a prayer out of sincerity and a person who is a munafiq and he does it out of showing off. We have a person, for example, who before he does the good deed or before he does the prayer, his intention is sincere. And he tries to hide his good deed and his prayer from the people. And after he has done the good deed or he has prayed, perhaps somebody finds out about his good deed or about his prayer or his charity. And then they praise that person. And then perhaps some level of happiness will enter into the heart of that person. This type of person isn't the munafiq who is showing off. And then the munafiq or the one who shows off is somebody who when he is praying, his intention behind praying is to show off. Before he gives in charity, he gives the charity out loud in front of everybody because he wants to show off. When he comes in front of the people, he lengthens his prayer, and when he is alone, he doesn't pray or he prays very quickly. And Ibn Kathir, rahimullah, he mentions a hadith which is mursal. And the hadith which is mursal isn't always authentic in terms of its chain of narration to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Ibn Kathir mentions this hadith mursal, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked, he said, a rajul ya'mal al amal, a man, a person, he does a good deed, he does an act of worship, astarahu, and he hides it and he conceals it, fa'idha tuli'a alayh, and then when some people find out about his good actions, despite him trying to conceal it, a'jabahu, then he becomes happy. So initially he tried to hide his good deeds and conceal his good deeds, and he was sincere in his intention and he remained sincere. But then after he had done his good deed, perhaps somebody finds out about it, or somebody praises him. You know, somebody can come up to him and say to him, mashallah, I heard you've memorized such and such. Or, you know, may Allah reward you, I heard that you gave such and such in charity. فَأَعْجَبَهُ. And then he becomes slightly happy at this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that this type of person, لَهُ أَجْرَانَ, he has two rewards. أَجْرُ السِّرِ, the first reward is for his, for the reward of his sincerity and him hiding and concealing his action. وَأَجْرُ الْعَلَانِيَةِ, and then the reward of it being made public. So the fact that this person came to him and praised him and made dua for him, this is a reward in this dunya. And it is like glad tiding which has been brought forward from the akhirah. His actual reward of being sincere and hiding his good deed was in the hereafter. But then it's as if Allah decreed for a person to find out about his good deed, and then some of that reward was given to him in this dunya, that somebody praised him, or somebody mentioned him in goodness, or made dua for him. So there's a difference between this person and that person. The one who totally shows off, and his intention at the beginning is to show off. Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man sama'a, sama'a Allahu bihi." That whoever did an act of worship in order to be heard amongst the people, then Allah will expose him in front of the people. وَمَنْ رَاءَ رَاءَ اللَّهُ بِهِ, and whoever does an act of worship in order to show off, then Allah will expose him in front of the people. And then after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he ended this surah by saying, وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ, that these people, they prevent the ma'un. And again, the meaning of ma'un is, they prevent even basic amenities being given to the people. And some of the mufassirun, they mention that the meaning here of ma'un is that a person comes to your house just to borrow a plate or to borrow a cooking pot, and yet you prevent this person. You say, no, no, I need this. Or if he takes this, perhaps his children are going to spoil it. Or if this glass gets smashed, then my set, which is in the wardrobe, is going to get smashed and like this. And this is in the way of the Muslims and the believers, those who are tender and soft in their hearts. That even small things, look at the beauty of our Islam and the beauty of our Sharia. Even the ma'un, somebody comes to your house to borrow a plate or a cooking pot, then it is condemned for us not to give this person the plate just to borrow. And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah, he mentioned in his tafsir of this ayah towards the end, he said, it's an obligation upon every single person that we always look at ourselves and we take ourselves to account. That we have to try to make sure that these meanings in these ayat, they don't apply to us. So you have to look at yourself and take account of your soul. That are you from those people who doesn't have certainty in the resurrection? Are you from those people who has no care and concern towards the aitam, the orphans? Are you from those people who does not feed the poor people and encourage the people to feed the poor people? Are you from those people who are stingy, such that even if a person comes to you to borrow something, you won't give it to him? And he said, rahimullah, that the Quran has not been revealed just for us to worship Allah through its recitation. I.e. a person, the only objective behind the Quran is he recites it to gain some reward from Allah. The Quran was also revealed for us to implement and act upon and practice and try to implement its meanings. And Umm al-Mu'min Aisha radiallahu anha, she used to say regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ النَّبِيَّ كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his khuluq, his manners and his ethics and morals, they were the Qur'an. Meaning, these type of ayat from the Qur'an, He's to implement them in his khuluq, in his manners. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to soften our hearts and that He increases us in good deeds and He gives us sincerity. And Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina.